for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're listening to Radiance by Design here on BBS Radio. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I have two special guests today who are just arriving, so I'll talk you through their arrival, Paul and Jaylee Balsh, and they're going to talk about relationship today. I'm going to ask you not to call in, at least for the first half of the show, because what they're going to do is talk about relationship and the empowerment that you can find in relationship. And they both have a lot of intuitive talents and skills and also long-term training with many of the Eastern lamas and traditions. I won't go into all of their history, but they talk about DNA activation and rearrangement, and they talk about a number of things. But, you know, they were on last week. Welcome, you guys. They made it, finally. they were on last week and talked about so many things and DNA activation and self-integration and growing and so on. And I pushed them and said, well, I know you do a lot about relationships, so I think we'll get into that today. But you know what? It's okay if you deviate, too, and you talk about whatever you want. So welcome, Paul and Jaylee. I'm glad to see you again.
Thank you, and it's nice to be here.
Yeah, very finally.
Well, you know what? We waited for you, but not very much. I talked the whole time. And so I'm going to, without further ado, and once again I'm saying please don't call in, at least for the first half. We may open the lines for the second half of the show, but I would like Paul Balsh and Jaylee Balsh to go ahead and take over here and talk to you about relationships.
Well, first of all, I thought we would start with a little visualization.
Very good.
Which is a nice way to start.
And they're just going to tell us everything there is to know about relationship in less than an hour. So, you know, if you can catch on to that, it's going to be very exciting.
You'll have to tap into the ethers to be able to tune in telepathically to get all of it.
Well, we can tune into the ethers with your help right now as we do an etheric meditation.
Sure. So the idea for this visualization today is to be able to focus on creating a synergy. And within us, we have the male and female energies. And forming a relationship with the masculine and the feminine will create a wholeness, which is really what a big part of relationships is about. So when you visualize connecting with another person, imagine them being your opposite. And the relationship is actually the space between. So as you reach with your mind, whether it be a friend or a personal relationship, a relationship with a partner or a family member. As you connect with this person, the space between is where the relationship takes place. And so you have yourself, and then you have the other person, and the relationship actually forms a third point. So if you can visualize like a triangle, there's yourself, the person on the other end, and then the third point, which is actually the space between you and the person, forming a triangle, is the relationship. And this forms a symbol that represents a relationship on a physical level, interacting with each other, creating a living consciousness called a relationship. And then on the higher frequency, the higher level, you can imagine another triangle being formed that is a representation of the relationship you have in your physical everyday life, but manifesting on a higher plane, on a higher level of consciousness. And slowly these two triangles start to spin in different directions. And as they meet somewhere in between, they merge. And as they merge, they harmonize and balance the male and female energies within yourself and the person that you're relating to. And they form a six-pointed star, which is a symbol of both triangles overlapping in harmony with each other. And you can imagine this six-pointed star in a two-dimensional state becoming three-dimensional. And as it becomes three-dimensional, it turns into a double tetrahedron, which is a three-sided pyramid, one pointing up, and a three-sided pyramid, one pointing down. And then see and visualize the pyramids spinning in different directions. And as they spin faster and faster, they spin to a point where they look like they're static, forming a diamond shape. And both of the pyramids harmonize and resonate together, forming a stillness, a oneness, an interconnectedness, a harmony, and a balance. And that's where I'd like to start today with our discussion on relationships.
Wonderful. And people who don't have partnership can use this to bring in their partnership, can they?
Or they can visualize creating that within themselves, or the male and female within themselves. The right part of your body relates to the masculine side. The left part of your body relates to the feminine side. Mm. So when you're, whether it's through exercise or you're feeling different things in the different sides of your body, it's a reflection of the way you're dealing with your male or female within yourself. Your body is a very powerful feedback tool.
Mm.
And that helps you to connect deeper with how you're relating to the masculine or the feminine. In the same way, if you reflect in your life how you deal with women in your life and men in your life, how we change perhaps the way that we stand, the way that we speak, the way that we express when we're in front of a man or a woman, and to reflect and look at why is that so. Perhaps it could be based on past experiences, on judgments, how we change our behaviors. And very often we change our behaviors so that we can be accepted or that we can fit in. We feel a sense of belonging. And it tends to alter how we express and really show and reveal our authentic self, which can affect the relationship we have with ourselves, which is probably the most important relationship.
So we go into kind of a performance or something.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, then they try and presume what the other person wants for them, and then they'll try and play along with that particular role.
A few archetypes at work here, too.
Definitely.
Yeah. Wonderful. I love that visualization. Even my heart's still really opening and feeling almost hurt. You know, it's great. I mean, you know, that hurt that comes from expanding your heart.
I like to call it growing pains.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we look at relationships now, there's a lot of impetus for change and spiritual development, and things seem to be intensifying and speeding up in our everyday world.
Boy, do they ever.
And what's taking place energetically is, in many ways, you're being challenged to stretch and grow and deepen the relationship with yourself first. And how this is taking place is as energy is almost compressing and intensifying our experiences. It's like we're going through a cosmic squeeze, as my wife Jolie would put it, and perhaps she'll talk about that a little bit herself, but we're going through a cosmic squeeze which is intensifying any emotional patterns that we have unresolved in regarding ourselves, our relationship with ourselves, and our relationship with our world. And as these patterns are intensifying, they're slowly coming to the surface in behavioral outbursts, in reactivity, in being triggered by our environment. And really, this is a fantastic opportunity for us to be able to purge and release and to let go of that so we can deepen our relationship with ourselves. And it helps us to understand where we need to heal and grow in those areas. So a lot of people having these emotional explosions taking place, and not only within themselves, but usually if we're in a relationship with somebody else, the first place where we tend to express and want to unload these challenges that are taking place, we tend to unload it on our relationship.
Hmm.
And if both partners can understand, instead of taking it personally, but they can understand that these intensities and these challenges are really a way of expressing and releasing either unresolved issues or built-up emotions and tension and stress within oneself, then it can be celebrated as a form of expression and not really taking it personally and getting caught up in the dynamic. Then it's a process of growth, healing, and cleansing instead of creating more conflict.
Sort of getting aware and recognizing it well in advance, too.
I think it's like twofold, though, because although the person expressing needs to be able to get rid of the emotions coming up, the way that person expresses also needs to be sort of tailored and looked at and changed, you know, so it's more proactive rather than reactive. And on the other end, the person who's receiving the communication needs to understand that it's not personal. So it's a two-way thing.
It really comes down to, if we look at why do people want a relationship, you know, in some of the programs that we have run, we ask people to put up their hand who is in a relationship. And sometimes only a third of the participants actually put their hand up. And it's quite amusing because, you know, you have a relationship with yourself, you have a relationship with your world, you have a relationship with at least quite a few people who are becoming more conscious are reaching out to have a relationship with their creator, with the cosmic. And then perhaps if you feel that way inclined to have a relationship, a personal one-on-one relationship with a significant other. Now, we have relationships with friends, with many different relationships on different levels, the way that we relate to objects, possessions, and why. Why do we stretch? Why? What is the motivation or the purpose to have a relationship? And I've got a few things here that I'd like to share. First of all, when you interact, especially with other living beings, other living consciousness, it creates an aliveness. As you connect and interact with another being, another entity, another person, there is an aliveness where you can demonstrate realness. Mm. And what happens when you connect with someone, when you create an attachment and an association, you are directing some of your life force, your energy, towards that person when you focus upon them. And it creates a real connection.
It's synergistic, actually, at that level, isn't it?
Yes. And through that synergy, you start to explore and learn and grow.
Mm.
And that's one of the steps why we choose to stretch and reach and to create relationships in our life, to feel that realness, to feel a sense of connectedness with people.
And a reflection, too, a close-up reflection.
Definitely. And that's I remember studying a lot of Toltec teachings and integrating them within my own life and also within our teachings, that you either love or hate your mirrors. And there's people out there are your mirrors.
Mm.
And so the mirrors that are reflecting in a beautiful way, it's more easier for us to accept on an egoic level because it can enhance us. And the mirrors that are reflecting challenges, our ego doesn't like to be able to accept and acknowledge them. Unless we are sadomasochists and then we only want to look at the dark side and not the light side. You know, people have a predisposition for both. But the other thing for a relationship is to feel a sense of wholeness.
Mm.
But the sense of wholeness is, it's not the other person making you feel complete. It gives you an opportunity to express more of your wholeness through you expressing a broader range of your capabilities, of your emotions, of your thoughts. In other words, you start to express more facets and aspects of yourself. And so through having a relationship with another, you get an opportunity through the feedback and the challenges that they offer you for you to stretch and grow and to communicate differently so that you get to know unknown parts of yourself. And that's where you grow through a relationship. It almost, through the synergy, triggers you to stretch and grow, to find new ways of expression, new ways of creating. And through that, you explore and get to know yourself beyond what you knew before.
Well, and I want to bring both of you home to this show. How long have you been in relationship? How long have you been together?
Well, we've been fortunately together for many, many lifetimes, but in this day and age, it's been 3 years, but an intense 3 years.
And has it brought you to, what do you think, Jaylene? Has it brought you to really opening to parts of yourself and seeing
Yeah, you know, basis also combined with our knowledge and a willingness to really be open and sort ourselves out, especially in this lifetime, we recognize within each other the opportunities where we got, number one, what we wanted, but we also cosmically got what we needed. And the wanted is great, but it's often what we needed is the part we actually shun in your partner, because it helps you face your shadow, the dark, deep things of inside of you that you really don't want to let go of, because they're dark, they're dirty, you know. And it's admitting the small things in you, and in releasing those small things with your partner, who's the person you should ideally be able to reveal your entire internal universe to, in releasing the small parts of you is when you start to see the magnitude of who you really are.
Did you were you able to set up? Now, you said something earlier about it's a time of turmoil and reaction in a way. Were you able to set it up so, like 3 years ago, where you were able to come to reaction in an elegant, premeditated way?
Well, first of all, I'd like to express how most people go about creating relationships on a consensus level.
Sure.
They would write down their ideal image of what they believe a person they would like to have in their life. And quite often, although I'm not wanting to limit the listeners, but quite often people would focus on image. And if you really look within yourself when you're about to go out on a date or you're going to a party where you may meet a potential partner, people like to package themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they do themselves up, they package themselves. And we try to be on our best behavior. So we really make an effort. But sometimes we try and overdo it. And we're not really being ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so by doing this in subtle ways, we're not being ourselves. So we attract someone through our performance, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show. And then, as Jaylee's mentioning, usually within 3 months, 6 months, although it's happening faster and faster, that performance slips away and we fall back to who we really are in everyday life, our default, or what we have become, which perhaps is more important, through our experiences in life. And as we start to let go of the performance, we start to reveal the dark and light side, our strengths and our weaknesses. And that's where the real work in the relationship starts to take place. As I say, you have the honeymoon period where it's all roses and it's beautiful, and there's a spark, and that spark is where you feel the love,
mm-hmm.
where you feel on top of the world. But what happens, unfortunately, for a lot of people, that spark diminishes because they don't know how to manage it and to allow that spark to evolve. And the crunch point for a lot of people is where you start to reveal the whole self, which is the light and dark side, is where the relationship starts to really take place and start to deepen, when you start to reflect and to reveal beyond your mask of what you wear in everyday life. And that's where the relationship really starts to evolve and take off. For a lot of people, that gets scary.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll go from one relationship to another, because they fall in love with the falling in love feeling. But when it comes time to...
Great biochemical rush.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like an addiction to that spark.
Right.
But when it comes to taking it deeper and to be able to reveal... And ultimately, in a loving relationship, the idea is to create a safe space where you can open your heart and reveal yourself and to communicate your fears, your sadness, your joys, your dreams without being judged or without being challenged. But
and as you said earlier, to get to a deepening place like a bliss place or a... You've got to get through all that stuff to get to that higher essence. Mm.
Exactly, and you need to have that with yourself as well.
Mm.
You know, one of the analogies I like to use is you're born with a cup, and your cup is full of energy. And as you go about your life sharing and giving to your world, you can end up emptying your cup. So the only way to keep your cup full is to be able to love yourself, to fill up your own cup first. And by doing that, your cup can overflow, and you can share it with your world. But if you share with your world first before giving to yourself, then you're not really loving yourself, and you end up feeling drained and empty. And you may end up feeling used on the end of relationships that you've had in the past.
I have to say that a lot of the listeners, a lot of the people I know that are on the path and single are working on that all the time. And it's like, when do we get to the point of meeting someone else's cup is also full? You know, that's a pretty big issue right there.
You know, I've always had the statement, and I make it wherever we are in the world, that people need to get a bit more selective. People are too desperate, and they need to be selective and watch and look and read someone's heart before they make that ultimate decision.
But you know what's interesting is some people are like 10, 12, 13 years, 14 years between looking to improve themselves to the degree that they can attract someone who's of a higher order, and that gets a bit exasperating.
Yeah.
But I get back to the point of feeling whole. If you're looking for a relationship to give you a sense of identity and to fill a gap or a hole within yourself, then you will be looking to create a codependent relationship, most likely, because you will be a dependent upon that other person to fulfill that hole or that something that's missing within you.
Right.
Whereas if you feel that wholeness within yourself, then you've got a wholeness to offer a relationship. You've got your own identity to offer a relationship, your own uniqueness. You're not looking for that within the relationship. You've already got that to offer. And then you're more likely to attract that ultimate relationship that you're looking for.
Were you looking for someone, Jay Lee, when you met Paul?
Not at all. I had actually decided that the single life was probably the most ideal life because there were qualities I wanted, and I wasn't going to settle for anything less. And from my weird point of view, I actually thought those qualities didn't exist on this earth. But,
I don't know if that's so weird. I hear that from people.
I was nicely surprised, but I had no idea what the package would look like. I mean, Paul's an absolute surprise for me, but it's worked out tremendously.
So it was a surprising meeting and a serendipitous, synchronistic.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And for me personally, I made a conscious decision. I hadn't been in a relationship for 3 years, and I went into an altered state. I focused on what I wanted, and I expanded my energy field, and I released that intention. And then I let it go. And the biggest thing, it's stated in the Bible, ask and you may receive. The important part is not to go looking. Allow it to come to you. Or allow yourself to be invited to respond. But don't try and make it happen, and don't go looking for it. Otherwise, we get in our own way.
So you went into the universal dating service.
Yes, and I went into the telepathic universal dating service and empathic. And as I released that intention, I allowed the person who was most suited to me and that I was most suited to them to turn up. A partner who had the potential and the desire to go all the way. And to go all the way is to create a cosmic marriage. And a cosmic marriage is where your two souls blend and become one.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that oneness. And then from there, throughout every incarnation, you are one with each other. So together you actually...
Forevermore?
Forever. Mm. Yep. And from there, you... When you have that experience, you end up becoming enlightened at the same time. And that's...
Excellent. So it's a route to enlightenment, which is what you said before.
Mm. Very much so. And working with a Tibetan Lama in Australia, he talks about he's actually a tantric master. And one of the things, the easiest way for people to create, you need to bring the god and the goddess together. And forming a synergy, those two energies create the third point, which is manifestation of the synergy of the two together. So the easiest way for a man and a woman to create something is to connect emotionally or sexually, and through the energy of that synergy, you can create a child, or you can use that energy of the connection to create a new business, or to create a new level in your relationship, or to create a new level of expressing. The energy of the male and female coming together creates a synergy of creation, and that can be harnessed on any level of your life. It's not just, and it can be just for fun and pleasure if that's what you want to explore, but it can be utilized on any level for anything, and it's the easiest way. But you need to go into that union with no expectation, total respect, openness, freedom, and allowing. That's the big trick, to be present and to surrender to the experience with your heart wide open.
You use the word freedom. I'm going like, okay, freedom, what does that mean?
Well, personally for me, freedom, total freedom, is to have no fear or concern whatsoever. So in other words, to be pure and totally open and clear and clean.
Excellent. I think the idea of a cosmic marriage is a little overwhelming for a lot of people, to think that you will be one forever. I suppose, I don't know where my brain goes, my intellect goes, well, what if, it's not a good thing, you know?
Well, ultimately, as quantum physics is now expressing at the minute level, when everything is broken down, we end up being energy in a sea of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an interconnectedness of life. We go all the way down to the string theory. And if you take it all the way to a cosmic level, people have heard of the concept of there is a oneness.
Right.
Now, when you become enlightened or you glimpse enlightenment, you realize that oneness. And the purpose of having a relationship is that you choose to have that realization of oneness with this part of your world, one-on-one. Eventually you have that with the whole of your world because you realize everything is one. But you've chosen, it's like I'm in love with the world right now and my love is being dispersed all over the universe. But for you to feel my love, I need to use you as a focal point and concentrate on you and direct my love towards you. And then we can establish a relationship and you can feel that connection. Because love is the energy that unites you with everything.
It's
the most powerful force in the universe. But you see, we are already one. But because of our conditioning and operating on a human level, we've lost this awareness and this connection truly to the oneness. And the force of love takes you to a level of awareness, understanding and enlightenment where you realize the oneness once again. But it needs to be focused.
So it's like you're living in your relationship. It's like living into a meditation, which includes the clashes of the shadow or the all of that. It's like living into it consciously until you get to the transformed or the oneness or the... Go ahead.
A relationship is an opportunity to help you to express love and to express more of yourself. So as you express, as you communicate, as you share, you get to know more of yourself. So really you're becoming more of who you are and you're expanding and growing. Through that connection, through love, you eventually get to know the whole of you, not just within your body, but the other person you're connecting with as well, because they are a part of you. And so obviously to do that, to be in a relationship where there are, you need boundaries, but those boundaries are flexible. The boundaries are placed out of respect. Because I love you, I will not operate in these particular ways in society because it won't make you feel safe. But you are free to do whatever you want. This is something that's mentioned quite often when we touched on freedom as well. A lot of people are saying that they are free, but with freedom comes accountability. How you utilize or express your freedom impacts upon those people around you that you love. So you are free to do whatever you want when you want, but how you utilize your freedom does impact upon those people, and you are responsible and accountable for the impact that you have.
That's wonderful. And I also Sunday I had a wonderful experience with Paul and Jay Lee at their workshop, and there you were mentioning about trust. What were the two? Was it trust and love? Is that freedom?
Trust is a very, very important part of a relationship, because if trust is jeopardized, it's like a crystal ball. Once someone breaches trust with another person, it's very difficult to rebuild that trust. We also state that you shouldn't play with someone's heart, because their heart and their love is something that is sacred. If somebody is willing to freely commit and offer their loyalty to another person, that is one of the most highest gifts that they can offer you. Not because they feel obliged, not because they feel they have to, but because they choose to. And that is something that is sacred. So if you breach that trust, you can hurt someone quite dearly. And to hurt someone is one of the most unfortunate things that you can do spiritually, because it can crush them and they can deal with the pain and those scars for many years to come. Whereas love, people play with love, and love is like a ball that is very resilient, it's strong, it can endure challenges, but trust cannot. So trust is something that needs to be really managed properly.
I like that a lot, and it's something that's bandied about a little bit loosely under the name, under the guise of freedom these days, and it's like those things clash. I just want to say that we probably would accept a couple of callers, too. There's Paul and Jay Lee are so informative, and I think a few of you up there are interested in relationships. You may want to call in, and the numbers are on your screen as you open up to BBS Radio.
One thing I will say that when people at the beginning, they start forming a relationship, the first thought that you have towards a person is the seed. It is the core of the beginning of that relationship.
Hmm.
So if you can reflect back upon the first intention that you had, that is like where the relationship springs and germinates from. And then in the first 21 days, the emotional interaction, the thoughts, the behaviors forms a pattern which creates a foundation for the relationship.
Hmm.
And then you've created that entity called a relationship, which is actually in between the two people. And from there, it will evolve and grow and strengthen itself, but it will also try to maintain itself. So when one or both people want to then change and grow, this pattern that has been formed in the relationship tries to maintain people at the same level, because it basically maintains itself from people responding and behaving the same way. So we suggest to people to go away intentionally at least once a year if you can. Hopefully you do that throughout the whole of your life. But once a year to create 3 weeks where you change your patterns and how you express, respect, give, share, and how you pamper and really express your affection, your tenderness towards your partner, your loved one, to create a new relationship, a new level, a new pattern.
I like that a lot. That's wonderful.
And then also looking at it from a different perspective, you have the child, the adolescent, the adult, different personalities within you. And sometimes you need to be nurtured like a baby. You need parental guidance so someone can help direct you. Sometimes you need the friend where you're buddies, where you just have a laugh and have a good time together. Sometimes you become the healer. Sometimes you become the teacher. So in a relationship that really starts to blossom, you have all those facets of the relationship.
Mm.
You're not just connecting on one level of being colleagues or being sexual buddies, but you can change roles for each other and operate multidimensionally, and all those facets come into play. So your relationship has a much broader depth and width.
Hmm. That's really nice to think that you can, or not nice, it's a wonderful concept to go and reformat your basic pattern every year. That's very healing.
Well, we do that with our computers, and we have a relationship with our computer.
We sure do.
Where we reformat the hard drive, put on new software, so that we can experience more things.
I think we have a caller. You're on the air if you're there. I wasn't quite sure if that was a beep.
Hello, Veronica. This is Brian from Indiana.
Hi, Brian. Meet Paul and Jay Lee.
Hi, Brian. Hello, nice to have you along.
Hello.
Hello there. I've been listening to you guys also last week. So thank you for sharing yourselves with the world.
It's an honor and a privilege.
Thank you for listening.
I know we've been talking. You guys have been talking about relationships. And that's something I'm trying to do with my mother ever since I was younger, just growing up and learning to respect her and follow rules and stuff, growing up as a kid. But now that I'm in adulthood, it's learning now about myself is moving into self-appreciation for who I am and learning to, to observe without judgment.
Well, that's a very important part, because then without judgment, you can accept yourself and you can respect and accept your mother for who she is and her beliefs.
Yes. So that's the thing that I'm working on right now, is allowing myself, it comes down to choice, but allowing myself to be free from anything that was holding me back in the past, and saying that I am who I am now, and I don't, even in spite of fear, that I can move forward.
It's very important. Our parents create a structure in the best way that they realize to help us to grow.
Yes.
And what happens is, with all structures, they are temporary, and we need to eventually outgrow those structures and to move on to find ourselves.
Right.
But at the same time, to respect the fact that what their world that they believed in and understood help to create that foundation for you to become the adult and for you to grow and now have the opportunity to have that realization for yourself. And I can love you whether I like what you do or not, whether I understand your beliefs or not.
That's
where what's most important in the world is to be able to celebrate the differences, whether we agree with them or not. We can still learn through how people see, respond, and act in the world. We can learn
It's like seeing through their point of view.
Exactly.
Because we each have our own perspective and point of view of life.
And one's right for someone and one's right for someone else, and we can learn through that. And if we can celebrate that on a world level, I would like to suggest we'd have much more peace and harmony.
Oh, yes.
And the world would be a better place.
Yes, if the listeners out there and everyone would just learn to go within and learn to self-appreciation and just try to learn a little without, you know, to observe more without judgment, and the world would start to really change, that shift in consciousness, you know.
I'd like to say one thing. Every motivation that we have deep down, at the bottom line, is a need to feel loved.
Yes.
And the basis of that is we need to learn to feel that we love ourselves first. And when we accept ourselves and love ourselves, then obviously we're going to transform the relationships we have with our world and other people.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, thanks. Thank you. Thanks
for your call, Brian.
Thank you so much. And you guys have a nice, wonderful evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's been said that everything starts with self and ends with self.
That's all we've got, really. We keep hearing it's an illusion, it's all in here, so here we are.
I don't want to actually tell the listeners about an interesting phenomenon that we've come across and we've tried and tested ourselves. You'll find in every single relationship, it's either one of like attracts like or opposites attract. And the different qualities, of each is that the like attracts like is a very far more easier relationship. There's not a huge amount of dynamics. It probably is more a very stable one, less sort of real peak points, but it's comfortable, and there are less challenges than in the opposites attract one. But what we find in the like attract like one is that more energy has to be directed to picking the relationship and actually making it exciting. So the two people have got to look for ways to make it exciting and create more in it. That's where the effort comes. But the opposites attract one. The people don't have to go looking for excitement.
Then there's time quelling a bit too much excitement.
Absolutely. And they don't have as much sort of settledness as the like attract like one. But with the opposites attract relationship, here's the pivot point in it. It's that where it's a relationship where the most amount of growth occurs, because the people are constantly in this situation of change and unrest, and maybe there's quite a bit of argument or whatever going on. That's where potentially growth really happens. Mm. And you'll find people who can't manage the opposites attract one, the next one they'll attract will be the like attracts like. Mm. And then they can't, that's too boring for them. So they go back to the opposite attract one. If people can manage the opposite attracts one, it can take them the whole way.
Hmm. Interesting. What are you two?
Opposites attract.
Are you? We haven't seen you be dynamic yet, but maybe that's okay.
Oh, we've learned to manage our dynamics.
Yeah, I know. You feel like that.
Being a water sign and Jelly being a fire sign. And in many ways, when we reflect and look at the different roles we play in life, One plays a feminine, one plays a masculine, and then one plays the masculine, one plays the feminine. So we're continually changing roles, which there again gets us to express ourselves differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very important part of your relationship with your gender. Inside of you, you are male and female, but if your gender happens to be masculine or feminine in this life, you have more likely a predisposition to expressing yourself that particular way. But you are both, and to learn to play both roles. There's an exercise in relationships. If you are playing a certain role in your relationship, swap roles with your partner for a week, and then you'll, as they say, step into someone's shoes, and then you'll know what it's like to be them.
Hmm.
So change roles for a week, and then perhaps you'll appreciate your partner a lot more.
I don't know if I could do that with my partner because he's a real techie wizard and I think things would fail miserably. But I think that is a good idea, swap roles. Yeah.
At least some of the roles that aren't too out there.
Yeah. Well, that's a wonderful concept. I like the opposites and the like. I'm going to think about that and watch people in relationships with that. But the thing that I notice over and over is you're talking about getting into a relationship intentionally with a goal in mind, which is a synergistic evolution. It's not just making a relationship. And I don't think people take it quite that far quite often. No?
A lot of people, perhaps their motivation is they feel lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And they would like companionship. They'd like a bit of fun.
Security.
Security, a bit of fun in their life. And perhaps that's all they realize or what they believe life is about,
mm-hmm.
having that security and companionship. I have to have a partner because that means that I'm okay. Whereas it's okay for you to be by yourself, to have your own relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't in a relationship for 3 years. And in the early stages of that, I'd go to a restaurant. And I'd sit down and I'd look at these couples and I'd be thinking, wow, I'm sitting here alone by myself. And I'd be reaching out to see these people enjoying and celebrating by themselves. But then I realized as I deepened the relationship with myself, I felt comfortable with just being with me.
Mm.
And one of the exercises the Lama gives people is to go out bush for a minimum of 3 days out into the wilderness by yourself and ask the question, who am I? What am I doing in life? And where am I going in life? And at first you'll have a lot of distractions and distortions come out of your mind, and that's usually coming from your ego and your conditioning. And after a day or two, then you start having amazing, beautiful, creative thoughts, feelings and emotions, and that's more your authentic true self communicating to you, which is much deeper. But it's a challenge for a lot of people. I'm here by myself now. I need to put on the radio, the television, read a book, get on the phone. People distract themselves from creating a relationship with themselves, to be with themselves and to enjoy their own company. It's difficult for a lot of people, and it's even more so, especially in our sort of hectic pace, modern lifestyle. There's so many things happening that even our relationships can be beautiful distractions, but it's important to balance, have time by yourself, time with a significant partner if you have one, time with your friends, time at work, time with your family. But important, there again, from what the Lama said, God rested 1 day a week where he didn't create anything, or it didn't create anything. So we need to take 1 day off a week where we're not having any distractions, we're not choosing to do anything, but actually have a relationship with ourselves, and that's where we'll feel more grounded, more centered, and we'll be far more in harmony and balance with our environment and our world.
I have to admit that I don't do that. I mean, I'm realizing how I would really love to do that. Did you both go into the bush separately and have 3 days on your own?
We actually had 4 months alone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with our world last 2 trips we've done around the world, we haven't done it, but we plan on doing it when we go to Australia for 3 days.
Have done it before, and it's a fantastic experience.
You do it together or apart?
No, you do it in solitude alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's very important about the spiritual path. For you to really learn to express your uniqueness, you have to tap the power of one.
Mm-hmm.
The power of one is to really get in touch with yourself and get to know yourself. And then if you have a partner who does that, then you can create the power of togetherness.
Mm-hmm.
And the true power of togetherness is where the authentic part of both people form a synergy. And from that perspective, you create a foundation and a dynamicism that can go beyond this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the ultimate, and that's what helps to create a cosmic marriage. But you can't really form a true, powerful synergy that will evolve on its own momentum unless you tap that power of one and sufficiently connect with that core, that authentic core within yourself. And you get that by solitude.
How about meditation?
That's another form of solitude, because in a meditative state, you disconnect from your world. You're cut off from the outside world and your senses. You go inside, and in the solitude of your own mind, once you learn to slow down the thoughts and the internal dialogue, you then start to have that inner peace, and then you can connect and communicate with your true, authentic self.
Hmm.
And that's another way as well.
It's wonderful. I wanted to jump to another thing. I know we only have a few minutes left, but I wanted to, and this may be too big a change of subject, do you have something to say about relationships? I was just thinking about the turmoil that's going on in the universe between now and 2012, and how so much of relationship is predicated by that which we have encoded in our brain from past, from reactions and so on. And you mentioned on Sunday that the pressure, the change is up, and we're going to have a period of being able to release that which is programmed in our brain. I want to talk a little bit about that, and we haven't got enough time to really get into it, but it's a very interesting possibility of a clean slate.
Exactly. Obviously, a part of the changes that are taking place on a physical level with the planet relates to our relationship with the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And our attitude towards the planet needs to change. The planet itself will change itself to readjust and harmonize its own energies, because the planet is a living conscious being. But we need to go within our own minds and to change our attitudes and our associations with the past. Energetically, what's taking place, we have a law called the law of entropy, as automatically things will start to break down. And we tend to remember certain memories, and we keep them alive by reminiscing and holding on to them. But by doing that, that keeps us plugged into the past.
Mm-hmm.
So energetically, what's taking place, the energies of the North and South Pole are about to invert over the next few years, and completely invert by the year 2012, towards the end of 2012.
Okay. That's where we all fall off the earth?
No, that's when we just go through a major shift emotionally, energetically.
Okay.
Where we need to, like the hangman in the tarot, you look at things from a position of upside down, a different perspective. You communicate, you create, you express. Your relationship with yourself, your environment, with everything changes from a different perspective. And that's taking place more and more. So what needs to take
place... I think we are experiencing it now already, aren't we? Quite a bit of it.
Very much so. And this is why people are feeling challenged and they start to reassess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the dark night of the soul, where you tend to doubt a lot of things, you question a lot of things. That's a healthy standpoint. As long as you don't get caught in that space, it's a space you move through, but it helps you to reassess, to purge, and to let go of what is redundant, what doesn't work for you anymore,
mm-hmm.
and to create new dreams and new attitudes, new ways of looking at life, and then to move to another level in life. What's taking place on a level with our mind is the old paradigms, the old ways of living, of trying to make things happen, of creating, of expressing, are breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
And so the shift that is going to take place, is taking place, and will continue and completely invert in 2012, will mean that all those old paradigms will be erased. They'll break down and dissipate. And people are finding the harder they try and hold on to those old paradigms of domination, force, manipulation, and making things happen using their mind, they have to put in more effort and more work, and they're getting less results.
Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming harder and harder. As people are shifting to their heart, focusing on expressing and allowing things to unfold through love and grace and ease, things are flowing more effectively, more gently, more gracefully.
So when we enter into periods of mass confusion, which is happening at times too, it's about centering.
Mass confusion really is a state where you choose whether you are aware of it or not, because you either don't want to make a decision or you are afraid of an outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You're not wanting to deal with change, so you choose to stay in a state of confusion.
Fear, yeah.
Where you don't actually have to respond. It's a way of almost opting out.
Hmm.
But this inversion and this change on a global level means that we can clear our hard drive and then reprogram our mind in a new way. Now, people can learn to start doing that through certain processes of meditation and mind techniques. That's some of the things that we teach in some of our programs, where you learn how to turn your own energies upside down, and you learn to deprogram your hard drive, so then you can reprogram. You become your own programmer, basically.
Excellent.
Spiritual programmer.
Before we come to an end, I'd like you to talk a bit about what programs you have and how people can be in touch with you.
Well, I think probably the most prominent two that are coming up over the web are the Awakening Mind ones and the Shadow and...
Living Empowerment.
Yeah, that's the first Awakening one.
That's a program that runs over 7 weeks over the internet, and there's certain meditations that you download. Step by step, you become far more conscious about integrating your higher awareness in practically into everyday life. There's a lot of knowledge out there, but it needs to be applied and embodied on an everyday physical level to become descended masters before you try and ascend. You're here to leave a mark and to make a difference, and that creates the foundation for the rest of your life. Then we have the shadow program, which is helping you to own the disowned parts of yourself and to learn to integrate your dark side. We have more retreat programs that relate to understanding and transforming your relationship with your ego so that you can learn energy management. We have energetic healing programs, various levels of learning to work with the aura, with chakras, releasing trapped emotions in the body, clearing energies from spaces, empowering people. We have an alchemy series where you learn to go in and deal with the elements. You learn to deal with the underworld. Then we have an online program that relates to the tarot and the archetypes, gateways to open to actually create your reality, not to try and find out what's going to happen, but to actually determine what you want to happen in your life. There's a whole broad range. There's hypnotic techniques, programs.
And don't forget Anatomy of a Yogi.
Anatomy of a Yogi, which is learning through different postures, what emotions you're releasing, which chakras you're activating in different poses, and the list goes on and on.
So do you have a website?
Our website's being built at the moment, but we do have an email address, which is?
It's Trinity, and I can spell it if you would like
me
to.
Slowly, so that get your pen out.
Sure.
This is just a few letters.
It is TRINRGINC at yahoo.com.au. I'll repeat that again. It's Trinity at yahoo.com.au. Trinity is TRINRGINC.
TRINRGINC at yahoo.com.au for Australia.
Absolutely.
Down under, and after the shift, we'll be on top.
Yeah. Well, we won't know any differently, probably. Yeah. You'll just be centered.
Actually, there will be quite a difference, and what we're seeing in the world as we travel the world, that there's the space between those who are becoming more conscious and more in touch and those who are not, those who are choosing the old paradigms and those who are choosing a new way of creating community and support, not focused out of personal gain but out of making a difference to create a beautiful environment. The gap between those groups is widening more and more and more.
Wow. And that's a choice that we make, is which?
Definitely. If your motivation is greed and you want to be in a position of power, if you're looking for external validation, then obviously you'll go towards the path of the old paradigms.
Mm.
If you're looking for making a difference in your world, coming from your heart, celebrating a sense of community, of spiritual development, of authenticity, and wanting to... Whenever you form a synergy, you give up your ego and you give of yourself to make a difference. To the extent that you give to a synergy is to the extent that you can receive. And that happens within a relationship. In a relationship, you don't surrender to your partner, but you surrender to the interaction between the two of you. That's where the synergy is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you gain the benefit from. So if you identify too much with the other person on the other end, there's no space between you and your partner. So the space between is where the relationship is, and that's what you need to focus on.
Wonderful. All right. Well, your clock isn't right.
It's 5 minutes past.
Okay. I was following it. We have a few minutes left, so...
So that's where I would suggest a lot of people, if you focus too much on yourself in a relationship or too much on your partner, you miss out on tapping the magic of the relationship, which is actually the interaction that is happening between the two people.
Hmm.
If you want to know where your relationship is at, you need to watch and observe what's happening between two people. I remember working with a martial art master, and he's following the Tao as well in Sydney, and he said, to find out about a person, have a look at the impact that they have around them, how people feel when they approach and relate to that person. A very quick exercise. You write down the qualities of the five people in your life, financially, how they express themselves, the type of relationships they have, how open-minded they are, how in touch with the world they are, and you give them a rating out of 1 and 10. Wherever, and then you tally up the average, and the average that you get is a reflection of you.
Hmm.
So the five main people that you interact with in life, and you pick out five characteristics of life, and then you rate them honestly. And then when you tally that up and form an average of each number of each characteristic, that gives you a reflection of the impact you're having. And it's a reflection of where you're at in your life.
External feedback that's really practical, right?
Yeah, exactly. Remember, your world is a feedback mechanism, and it's helping you to learn about yourself.
This is very exciting. It's a wonderful exercise. I'm going to do it.
Mm.
So when are you leaving this part of the world? Are you going to just keep traveling for a while? Or
We actually head down to San Francisco on Thursday. We'll be there over the weekend. We're running a program at a yoga center called The Sacred Space. And then we head off to New Zealand, and we're spending about a week in New Zealand, and then we're back to home turf in Australia. We'll be offering seminars in Australia for about 4 to 6 months, and then we're off on another world journey back to South Africa, and then up to the UK, Canada, and then back to the States next year as well.
Where's home in Australia?
Home in Australia is in Queensland, northern Queensland, just near the Barrier Reef.
Good hot weather?
Yeah, it's more tropical environment. So we like the range of, you know, temperate climates. We in Ontario a few months ago when it was way below zero.
Very cold.
We had quite an interesting relationship with nature, but it was new, it was exciting, and it was fantastic. We really celebrated that.
It's okay when you have it as an option, I think.
Yeah, it'd be a different thing if you had to live in that environment all the time, I'm sure.
Jaylee, you are from South Africa?
I live in South Africa. I was actually born in Rhodesia, which no longer exists. Yeah, but I am from South Africa.
Primarily. So you're used to the warm weather and so on?
Oh, yeah, very much so. So the cold was quite a shock, but it was also an exotic shock. So it was incredible to experience.
So the two of you together, synergistically speaking, can live around the world and find your home spots periodically. Both of you are compatible with that.
Yes, because I have a British background, so I have access to the whole of Europe as well. So.
Excellent.
But we are looking at, towards the end of next year, a place in Australia to start building a retreat so we can have a base, and then we will still travel, but it'll be on less of a sort of extended basis, like a 12-month trip.
It'll be great when you have your website going. We'll all look at it and see where you are, where the retreats are, and how to check in with you.
I actually have a message for Brian in Indiana. One of the fundamental steps to changing the mother-child relationship is to understand that it should shift after the age of 21 from child to parent to adult to adult. It is a very fundamental thing to look at. For any child to claim their power, there has to be that shift from child, parent to adult, adult.
Yeah, spiritually, you've reached the age of consent at 21. And from there, you set yourself free, and the parent needs to see their child as a friend, and they relate adult to adult and not try to parent their children anymore. The child that has grown up needs to learn to parent themselves, and that's a very important part of life.
Excellent. And I believe that our time has come to an end. I'm so grateful for the time you've both had to be here, and I'm sure that our listeners have a lot of feedback for us. And you can email me, Veronica, at Veronica Entwistle, E-N-T-W-I-S-T-L-E, remember, no H, or you won't get me. Love to get your feedback and hear all about your responses. Tune in on Thursday night, where I'll be with Jackie. We're continuing the process of working with the shadow and grief, and I'm not quite sure where we're going to go with it this week. And I'll see you next Tuesday here on Radiance by Design. Many, many blessings.
Thank you, Veronica, and thank you to all the listeners as well.
And blessings, and go well. Thank you.
Thank you both. Safe travels.
BBS Radio.